come from? What has he done for me? You're missing out on something. And so Paul has the opportunity to say, don't walk anymore like the Gentiles walked. This is how they lived, right? I'm going to jump ahead. Bob, I think you've got Ephesians 5 here. Three verses there in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11. We'll get to these again next week. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let's think about that last verse for a minute there, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Is that talking about me, or is that talking about other people? Right? Because a lot of times we might look at a verse like that and think it's telling us, don't hang out with bad people, right? Don't spend time in the world. And yet you look at Jesus and who he spent time with, tax collectors and sinners, and what did he do? He was the light of the world. He exposed what was in them. But what we're seeing here, right, is have no fellowship, not with people, but have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You know, if you walk with Jesus, if you're walking in the Spirit, those works in yourself will get exposed. The more that you walk in the Spirit, the more you start to see where your issues are. And it gives you something to think about. And you know the awesome thing about it? I've gotten to see this as I've grown older, and I hope you have too, right? It's that idea that some of the struggles you had when you were a young person, you've conquered them through the Spirit. And you're kept from them through the Spirit. And even though that temptation's there and still sometimes creeps in, if you trust in God and you're diligent, the Spirit will keep you from those things. That's an awesome thing to experience, right? Look for those things that you can conquer in your life. Look for those things that you can expose in your life and be able to say, I need to change this. The Spirit's telling me this, and God's going to help me do it. And I can believe him because he told me that, right? Don't walk as the Gentiles walked, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. One more passage, and then we're going to come back and spend the rest of our time here in Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to read 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If that thought stopped there, there'd be a lot of people without hope. A lot of people, right? I mean, we like to think, no, I'm good, right? I don't fit in this. You look at some of the other passages that deal with sins, and these would get lumped in there with everything else. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But what does the next verse say? Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, even though a Gentile or a Jew or anyone comes from that place, that they've struggled with these things, that they've performed these things, that they've lived this way, they have the opportunity to be made right before God. To be washed, to be sanctified, to be justified. What does that mean? That means that when I trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and I say, God, this isn't through me that I'm becoming right with you. I've been created for good works. We're in Christ Jesus. That means that through Jesus and the work that he's done, I trust in him. And you look down from heaven and you see me, and you don't see my sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. That's what God sees when he sees a believer. He sees the blood of his son on the cross and the fact that Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus didn't say it is started. He said it is finished. It was done. And so what's our response to that? Our response is, we believe the verses that tell us, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, what does that look like, right? Don't walk like the Gentiles walked. But let's continue, right? Verse 20, back in Ephesians 4. We're going to stay here for the rest of the morning. Ephesians 4, picking up at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here's the picture that I had in my mind when I was thinking about this, right? Here's a nice little exercise. You can bring it into your life. You wake up in the morning, you roll out of bed, and mentally, you're putting off the old man. You step on the floor, you step out of bed, and you're putting on the new man. It's a daily thing. It happens every day, right? We're constantly warring against the flesh, but we have the ability through God's Spirit to be renewed in our minds, right? So think about that. When you wake up in the morning when you rise up, every day, put off the old man and put on the new man. You know, there's so many verses that David wrote in the Psalms about seeking the Lord in the morning. Why? Because if I'm seeking him at 11 o'clock at night, I've missed out on the entire day, right? And what am I likely to be doing in that case? God, I'm sorry for this. God, I'm sorry for that. God, I'm sorry for this. God, I'm sorry for that. Right? Seek the Lord in the morning. Lord, empower me today. Let me live through your Spirit. May I be an encouragement to my neighbor, right? May I help that one in need. Lord, help me not to judge when I walk through the world today, just like you didn't judge, right? But you saw that woman and you said, Pharisee, that woman's going to love me more than you love me, right? We've got a great opportunity. Every day is a new opportunity. And the problem with getting into too much of a routine in life is that sometimes you miss out on that fact. So it's good to shake it up sometimes, right? Look for opportunities to do new things and learn new things so that we can remember that we're constantly growing, that we're constantly growing. So put off the old man, put on the new man. Remember that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that passage in Scripture goes on to talk about there being no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you think about that separation. If God is light and Jesus is light, what does it mean to be separated from him? It means I'm walking in darkness. Do you ever feel like you're walking in darkness? Do you ever feel like you're kind of grasping around in the dark, trying to find God? You know what the Bible says? It says he's not far from you. But we're so consumed by that thought, right? Where is he? Where are you, God? He's not far from you. Remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and there's no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that lead us to, right? What does it lead us to? It leads us to our thoughts around how we conduct ourselves one with another, right? Therefore, putting away lying, verse 25, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. These are kind of interesting verses, right? What truth? Speak truth with your neighbor. What's that talking about? It seems a little out of place, right, at first glance. Putting away lying. Why did we start with lying? Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one with another. Be angry and do not sin. Now we're talking about anger and the idea of sin being tied to anger. And actually, it's telling us we can be angry without sinning. Okay, and then do not let the sun go down on your wrath. When you think about the context of this, and what we're going to get into with regards to how we interact one with another, and when we think about that idea of putting off the old man, putting on the new man, no longer walking as the Gentiles walked, you could have a lot of different thoughts about this and love to hear them in the back, right? But when I think about this, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Okay, so this verse is talking about speaking with other believers. So if you're a believer, it's talking about your neighbor, because it says, for we are all members of one another. So that refers to the church. Okay? Speak truth with his neighbor in the church. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In the context of a passage that's talking about putting away sin and not walking like the Gentiles walked. And the only thing that I can think of is this idea that we've got an opportunity to really counsel each other and coach each other and help each other, right? Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Put away lying. So many times we try to sugarcoat what's actually going on and just not deal with it. And that's not a healthy thing to do, right? So when you think about this idea of not walking like the rest of the Gentiles walk, clearly there was a problem there in the church in Ephesus where there were people who were walking like the rest of the Gentiles walked. Or Paul wouldn't have said that to them. And so what comes out of that? Therefore, putting away lying, stop kidding yourselves. What's really going on here in the church? Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. There's other verses that talk about speaking the truth in love. And it's the idea that you're exposing something that needs to be corrected. That's a tough one, right? Because from a relationship standpoint, that doesn't feel good. What does that generally lead to? Anger. Right? So now it's all, to me, I mean, this is an idea, right? Let's go with it. It's kind of all coming together. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And you know, the idea of growing together, right, as a body, members of one another, it's a challenge. And the devil, verse 27, nor give place to the devil, would love to get in and use that opportunity to create that anger and have that anger grow into bitterness and wrath and fury and dissension and separation. Right? You know, the devil, one of the terms for Satan in the Old Testament, when you read it in the Hebrew, the literal translation of it is the accuser. The accuser. Nor give place to the accuser. And it's just that idea of there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But when we speak the truth to each other in love, it's an opportunity for us to grow. Complex thought. Maybe I'm off on it, right? But that's where I think this comes together around the idea of being angry and not sinning, not letting the sun go down on your wrath. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the idea that encouraging each other, exposing the truth, can lead to anger. And the devil will look to use that opportunity as the accuser. Let's move on. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So there's that thought again, edification, right? What is edification? It means that we speak to each other in a way that builds one another up, right? We're helping each other. We're not dragging each other down. And how do we do it? In a way that would impart grace to the hearers. So we've got this picture of the devil as the accuser who would say, look at your sin, right? The accuser. And yet we've got the opportunity to speak what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I think back in Romans chapter 1, and we don't have to turn there again, but I'll just read. You know, when Romans, after that passage, after we stopped, it goes and it starts talking about all of the different sins, right? And there's a long list there. But the last three, the last three that are listed, among all these other sins that we would look at and say, you know, these are the icky sins, right? These are the bad sins, the terrible sins. I'm not like that. If that person walked in the back door, what would we think, right? But the last three sins that are listed here are the ones that the Pharisees really struggled with. Think about that picture of Jesus with that woman in the beginning. Where were the Pharisees coming from? Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. So you got this long list of sins that we look at and we say, bad person, bad people, bad, 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 right? And yet the last three that are listed are the ones that those of the religious background in Jesus' day, right? Those of the established church of Jesus' day really struggled with. Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What would grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is the inverse of that, right? So look at the contrast. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So you start to look at this whole picture. When I did that passage on walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh, the conclusion of that passage dealt with this idea of, and let none of you be conceited, thinking you're great, right? So walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but beware that none of you become conceited, right? We kind of have that similar thought here, just like we talked about there in 1 Corinthians, right? Unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And here we close this whole idea with different sins that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And what? And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Impart grace to the hearers. Do your words impart grace to those around you? Do your thoughts impart grace to those around you? Are your thoughts God's thoughts about those who are lost and in darkness and looking for God but not finding him? We had that verse again, right? And such were some of you. We're so quick to come out of a bad situation into a better situation and forget about where we came from. How many people rise to riches in this country out of impoverished areas to forget about that impoverished area, right? And it's that same kind of picture for the believer. How many of us rise to grace in Christ, but we forget about where we came from and the need that they have. You see, Jesus came and he saw the need. He saw everything. And that's why he spent time where he saw the need. Because he knew that the people who came out of that situation would love him even more, would work for him even more, right? Their love would turn into a person who was real and genuine. What does it mean to find truth in Jesus? What does that mean? It means that I'm not just putting on a suit in the morning because it looks good, right? I mean, it's easy to do that. What are we putting on when we put on the new man? What are we putting on? We're not putting on a facade. We should be putting on the truth that's in Jesus. And that truth is, I've come a long way from where I was. And the more that we recognize that, the more we appreciate him. And the more we appreciate him, just like that woman, the more we'll have a desire to serve him. I think some of the problem here in Ephesians was the fact that the people weren't appreciating the truth of what had been done for them. Right? That's why he talks about truth. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That's an awesome thought. Think about that. Think about who you are in Christ if you've trusted in him, what he's done for you, where it's brought you. And I think the big challenge is, just like those religious leaders of that day, right? The devil is going to creep in, and the best tool that he has against someone who's been made right in Jesus Christ is to get them to forget where they came from. Because the more they forget where they came from, the more they look at that place and they say, well, that's not me. That person's really bad. That's terrible, right? Jesus didn't do that. So those were the thoughts I had on the passage this morning. I mean, really, it's a little complex when you start thinking about how all the pieces work together, but that's where the Spirit of God is so important, right? Because we can kind of dissect words and play with this all week long, right? But the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, convicts us of what we need to change, and leads us where we need to go. So the real message here is around the Spirit and around that idea that I need to walk in the Spirit, and that by walking in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. By walking in the Spirit, I won't have to think about this idea of being caught up walking as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance of them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see, I don't have a futile mind. I've got a sound mind that the Lord has given me, right? I can be renewed in the Spirit of my mind. My understanding's not darkened because I was once in darkness, but now I'm the light, and I have found the light in the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 8, walk as children of light. Being alienated from the life of God. I'm not alienated from the life of God. I've been brought together with God through Jesus Christ. I'm not ignorant because of the ignorances in them, because I know that my Redeemer lives. I'm not past feeling. I'm not past feeling. And the output of that, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Our God and Father, Lord, we thank you for the exhortation from the scripture, for the reminder, Lord, that we were all once lost, but that you loved each one of us so much that you sent your Son for us, that we might know him and that we might know you, that we might see the light and the truth. Lord, help us to walk in your Spirit and to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, remind us not to try to do this on our own. Because if we try on our own without you, we'll fail. But help us to see your presence in our life, appreciate your presence in our life, and be renewed day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.